Shalom and Chazak ve'ematz. This is David Oaks, pastor of the Light Church Fellowship and founder of David Oaks Ministries and Israel Study Tours with David Oaks. Join me for the next 30 minutes as we open up the Word of God again concerning Israel, the end times, Bible prophecy, and how to live successful lives in this end time. We have been studying together Israel and her prophetic place. We have discovered that the land of Israel and all of the land of Israel have been given to the Jewish people for an everlasting covenant. That includes the area of Judea, Samaria, and the Gaza Strip, what the world calls Gaza and the West Bank, but God calls them Judea, Samaria. God caused the Gaza Strip, the territorial possessions of the tribe of Judah, Samaria region up north of Jerusalem was into the territorial possessions of the tribe of Ephraim, and the southern portion below Jerusalem of the West Bank was in the territorial possessions of the tribe of Judah. And God has said that all of that land, yes, that place where Yasser Arafat and his group is holed up right now, that very place, God says, belongs to the children of Israel, and it is as God says, and it will be as God says it will be. Did you hear that? Did you know that place called the West Bank, that the world calls the West Bank? 90% of the Bible took place in that place. No wonder the devil, the enemy, is trying to steal that from the people of God, the Jewish people, because the devil doesn't like God to have anything that God says belongs to a certain group of people, and the devil will try to take it just because God has given it to somebody. But the devil's not going to win. He hasn't won in the past, and he's not going to win in the future. The devil was motivating Hitler. Hitler tried to destroy all of the Jews of the earth, but he failed. He failed miserably, and he has gone on the junk heap of history now as one of the most evil men ever. Anyone who tries to do bad and harm to the Jewish people will eventually end up on the junk heap of history as a evil person. Did you hear that? But those of us who love Israel and are sweet to Israel and pray for Israel, glory to God, are going to be blessed by God. For he said in Genesis, the 12th chapter, that if you bless them, you will be blessed. And if you curse them, you will be cursed. Now, we have found out, as I said, concerning the everlasting covenant, found that that land is Israel's. Then we moved over into the New Testament in Matthew, the 24th chapter. And the disciples got together with Jesus and they said, hey, what's going to be the sign of the end? And Jesus began to give signs of the end that point to the coming of the end. And one of the great signs Jesus got to prophesying about was in verse 32 of Matthew 24 concerning the parable of the fig tree. The Amplified Bible says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. And we found out by studying in the Word of God, by looking at scriptures, we won't go through them again today because we have two previous weeks, that the fig tree in prophecy most of the time is speaking of the nation of Israel. And we showed scriptures at how that is proven to be the point now, or proven to be the case. Now, we went over here and we found out by looking, glory be unto God, at Matthew, the 24th chapter, and then he said, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. Matthew, the 21st chapter, verse 18, we believe that Jesus was referring to this situation when he took them back some 24 to 48 hours and an experience that they had had with a fruit tree, and Jesus cursed it and said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently, that says the fig tree withered away. We found out that that word forever is the same Greek word that's translated in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 7, that says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. The word ages is a better translation, and it's normally translated that way in the Word of God. So in Matthew 21, if we replace that English word with this English word, a better translation, let no fruit grow on thee for the age or to the end of the dispensation. Now, the lessons that the fig tree, that they were to learn from the fig tree is, because it was unfruitful, it was cursed, it withered. And for the time period, how long was it for that time period or for that age? Then we went into the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel 37 and found out that that was speaking of Israel being reborn as a nation. Then we went over to Luke, the 13th chapter, and found out the parable of Jesus coming to the earth, looking around and not finding fruitfulness in Israel, the point and the place of his ministry. And he was ready to curse them forever, but someone stood up, a vine dresser stood up and said, no, Lord, let us fertilize them once again and let's see if we can get some growth out of them. And this one, I believe, is the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And just like Abraham and just like Moses, they made intercession with God, made intercession with the Lord, and something happened. He turned and he spared them, and it's great that he did. Now, notice this. In Matthew 24, it says once again, when his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that judgment, that summer, and we looked at the word summer as being judgment, that judgment is coming. Now, let's turn to Romans, if you would, please. Well, no, let's go to 2 Samuel. Where we left off last week, we hurriedly ran through that scripture. We need to look at it again in 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. I want you to notice this, my brothers and sisters. And my friends, verse 22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel? There is not one nation in all the earth. The United States is not anything like Israel. Saudi Arabia is not like Israel. Iraq is not like Israel. And what one nation, the psalmist says, this prophet and king of Israel says, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name. God's purpose with Israel is so that God would obtain a name in the earth. Did you know, Christians that are listening to me right now, you would not be here if it was not for the Jewish people, because we that were outside the Jewish race were without a covenant, Ephesians tells us. We didn't have a covenant. God made covenant with the Israeli people, the Jewish people, back when he was giving forth the commands of God. God gave forth the oracles unto the prophets of old. Are you listening? He didn't give them forth to anybody but the Jewish people. And by God's sovereign grace and by God's mercy, he allowed us to be hooked in to the covenant that God made with the Jews. Salvation, we even came first to the Jew, the New Testament. You can't argue with me with that. First, salvation came to the Jew and then to the Gentile. The whole salvation plan was to the Jew first, and then we were able to be grafted in. There is not one nation like them in all the earth. No one's like Israel. And God drew them out so that God could make a name for himself in the earth. Notice this, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name and to do for you great things for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. Now God said this, that through the mouth of David, and it was David's words were inspired by the Holy Spirit, God said that Israel, the Jewish people, would be a people unto God forever. That means it doesn't have an end. You just can't be a Jew hater, because if you are, then you're not standing for what God stands for. God has called forth the Jewish people. But something happened. In Isaiah the second chapter, it says in verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God's plan was that Israel go and teach the word of God throughout the earth. That was God's plan, but they fell short of God's plan. And when they fell short of God's plan, there was a curse that came upon them. They were removed out of the land. We read last week from Innocents Abroad by Mark Twain of the curse that he found on the land in 1867. And so we find that it was really just like God said, but then the renewal, the restoration came to the land of Israel. And Jesus said that it was a sign for this end time, that the end is coming to the forefront. We're going to know soon and very soon, because we can view Israel, that Jesus is coming. Now notice this in verse 32 of Matthew 24. I believe we've reviewed enough. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that judgment is nigh. And that is exactly what has happened. Israel began at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century to live again. In 1948, they became an independent, breathing, functioning state in the earth. Now, look at Romans, the 11th chapter with me. Romans, the 11th chapter. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning the nation of Israel also. I mean, Paul loved the Jewish people. He said his heart, desire, and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. And that's, we don't have time to speak on the word saved, but it's more than just saved. It's saved in every aspect of life. Now notice chapter 11, verse 29. Now this has all been speaking in Romans 9 and 10 and 11 about the nation of Israel. And verse 29 says, "For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God called Israel to do a work, and God is going to do a work in them." Verse 31 says, "Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." So what are we supposed to be doing with the Jewish people? We are to be showing mercy unto the Jewish people. You need to get that. Remember, we looked over there in Luke, the 13th chapter, of this vine dresser that was saying to the Lord, "Now don't destroy them." In other words, this vine dresser was showing mercy to the land and the nation of Israel, the fig tree. Well, let me tell you, God's call for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to show mercy, copious mercy, upon the people of Israel, not to condemn them. I hear church leaders on television condemning the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. They should have allies with us. We should be an ally to the Jewish people. We should love them. We should appreciate them. We should show mercy. We should give them money. I know for me and my church, we give much money. We give much, much, much money. I won't tell you how much, but we give much money to the nation of Israel. We give to these communities to help them buy security apparatuses. We buy books and computers for libraries, for school systems. We buy things that they can armor plate their buses for their school children. We take toys for their school children. We give much money. We give much money, and that's just showing mercy. That's showing mercy for them. Glory to God. Now back to Matthew 24, because we're going to try to close this segment out today so that we can go on to another topic in the weeks to come. Now Matthew 24 says this again. "So, likewise," well, we better read verse 32. "From the fig tree learn its lesson. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, know that summer is nigh," or that judgment is coming. "So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." I mean, the end is coming. If you see Israel living as a breathing entity now, you know that the end is coming. "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Are you listening? The final judgment. The final judgment, 7 years before the final judgment, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be taken up in the rapture of the church. Now, don't get excited because you don't find the word rapture in your King James Bible. Some people say there's no such thing as rapture because it's not in the King James Bible. The word rapture comes from the Greek word harpezo, harpezo. And harpezo means caught up, and the New Testament does speak of the catching up of the church. Where does the word rapture comes from? It comes from the Latin Vulgate. Rapture is, I'm really Englishizing it there. The word rapture is the Latin translation of the Greek word harpezo, and harpezo is translated as catching up. So when we speak of the rapture of the church, we're just speaking of from the Latin Vulgate. We're just taking that word, but it's Greek, harpezo, and in English, it's catching up. So 7 years prior to the judgment of the nations, something is going to happen. There is going to be the catching up, or the rapture, the taking away of the church to heaven. Oh, blessed be the name of God. So it says that the generation that sees the fulfillment of Bible prophecy and Israel becoming a nation before God, that nation, those people are going to see the rapture of the church, And those who are left upon the earth after the rapture are going to see this judgment of the nations. And we could go through and talk about the judgment of the nations, but we're not. The judgment of the nations is going to be established on by how did you treat Israel? And we'll study that in the weeks to come. It's important how our nation treats the nation of Israel, because their millennial reign stability and status will be determined by how they treat Israel, how the United States treats Israel. Now, notice this, that the nation that sees, or the generation that sees Israel become a nation, become fruitful again, glory to God, is going to be the generation that sees the rapture of the church and going to be the generation that sees the judgment of the nations. Are you listening to me? Well, in 1948, Israel became a state. A Bible generation is either 40 years or 70 years. I personally believe, this is David Oakes personally believing, that it's speaking because Israel wasn't whole until Israel had Jerusalem returned back to it, and Israel had God restore and return Jerusalem back to her in 1967 in the Six-Day War. It is in Israel's possession. Although Moshe Dayan did the silliest thing known to mankind when he turned Temple Mount back over to the Arab peoples to run, Israel should have kept it for herself. There would have been a lot less problem in the Middle East. People think sometime by giving things away, you make things easier. It's like a parent who thinks that if he provides certain things for his children, that it'll just make life easier. Well, some things must be restrained from children. You know, you read in the newspaper about parents who say, well, they would rather be friends to their kids than be guides and leaders of their children. And so a situation that's been in the press recently, parents purchasing and buying alcoholic beverages for the kids, it would have been better if they would have just withheld those things. Their children would be in a lot less trouble right now. Are you listening? They provide all kinds of devices so that they can function in the world of sin. And it just causes more problems, emotional problems, physical problems, sickness and disease. There are some things left better not given away. And Israel should have never given away the Temple Mount because God had given it to them for an eternal possession. Oh my, my, will we ever learn from history? Will we ever learn from our mistakes? Will we ever learn? Everybody said the Oslo Accords, oh, we just give this land to the Palestinian, the Arab peoples, and everything will be sweet under President Clinton, and we'll give away under the Oslo Accords. And what has it caused? It has caused years of death and destruction and terrorist attacks. You give a little away, and some people don't know when to stop, and they just keep killing people, and the destruction and the murder happen. And that's when things were given away. What's going to happen if Israel gives away all of Judea, Samaria, and the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and the Gaza? What would happen? There would be more killing. Because the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization under Yasser Arafat, was not started, now I want you to get this, was not begun after Israel had possession in 1967 of Judea, Samaria, or the West Bank. No, it was started in 1964 for the liberation of what they perceive as Palestine, all of the land of Israel. It was started before 1967. The world's media says, oh, it's just started since. No, it started in 64. Their plan, they were never going for their own state. They were going for the annihilation of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. When will we learn from history? You just can't give everything up. You just can't do it, when, especially when God has said that it belongs to the Jewish people for an everlasting possession. Verse 34, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass. I believe that the generation began in 1967. And so I want you to get this, that generation that was alive at that time will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't think that it's time to get your life together? Oh, it is, my friend. I hope that you just happened by this station this morning, because if you see the name of Israel written in the newspaper, you're alive and you will see the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgments of the nations. That's Bible. We have Bible on it. God has made Israel grow and thrive again. How sure is this? It says in verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." In other words, God said, if you see this nation bear fruit again that was dead for 2,000 years, a language that was dead for nearly 2,000 years, didn't have any use in society other than in a liturgical usage, just like Latin, but now that language is being spoken on the street. Not only has it been spoken on the street, here's an American Christian pastor and his wife and most in his congregation that speak and sing in Hebrew. I read the Bible in Hebrew. It's a living language. When you read it in the language that God gave it, it has meanings that come forth that you get no other way. And so, notice this. God said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." This is not going to pass away. This is the way it is. It doesn't matter what Wolf Blitzer says. It doesn't matter what Peter Jennings says, or Dan Rather, or Tom Brokaw. It doesn't matter. This is what God has said, and God's words will not pass away. God is not a man that he should lie. He tells the truth, and he told the truth about Israel. Jesus is coming soon. My dear friend, Jesus is coming. You know, we go out and we preach seminars on Israel in churches. And something magnificent always happens when people see that God keeps his word, and they see it. For 2,000 years, it didn't look like God knew what he was doing. But suddenly with Israel, and it's so evident as we take people through the Word of God that exactly what God said he would do for you. And it builds faith on the inside of them that, hey, if God says something to me in his Word, then it's exactly as he says, and God tells me the truth. If God says, by whose stripes you were healed, then you're healed. And I see people get healed gloriously by God's power after we speak on Israel in churches. It's amazing that God says all of your need is met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And when people hear that God has told the truth to the nation of Israel and to the Jewish people, that, hey, if I find that in the New Testament, God's telling me the truth. And if I find that God wants to meet my need and that he will meet my need, all of my need, then he's telling me the truth the same way. And the moment I discover that God tells me the truth is the moment that I can receive all that God has for me to receive. God does not lie. God is a good God. God loves people. And God loves you, my dear listener, today. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. God loves you. God cares for you. And God wants you to know that he wants you well and he wants you prospered.